Let's begin the second parak of Be'ah here. So we're learning all week about Erev Tavshilin. Now, we're going to discuss a lot about Erev Tavshilin throughout the course of this parak, but I wanted to discuss probably the most common question that comes up with respect to Erev Tavshilin. Now, this year, there are no Erev Tavshilins, at least in Tishrei. I don't know what's going to be Pesach time. I don't look ahead. But the most common question, before every Yom Tov, I always ask my family, right, when we start like the first night, what do you think the most common question was leading up to Yom Tov? So whenever there's an Erev Tavshilin, the question is always, I'm not cooking, I don't need to cook because I've been invited out for all my meals, or whatever the case might be, do I need to make an Erev Tavshilin? That's question one, that's the most common question before Yom Tov. And most common question after Yom Tov begins is, I forgot to set aside an Erev Tavshilin, what should I do now? So those are two questions I want to address. Now, in terms of not doing Erev Tavshilin, we're going to learn in much greater detail that you can rely on the rabbi if it's the first time, if it's already the second offense. Most likely you can't, but maybe if it's not consecutive, maybe there's a heter to rely on it. But let's assume you can't rely on the rabbi's Erev. This person, every single Yom Tov comes around, they always forget to do Erev Tavshilin. They have the reminder, you know, on the refrigerator, Erev Tavshilin reminder, they forget. So now what does this person do? Can they light candles even though they didn't do an Erev Tavshilin? So these are two questions I want to answer, and we'll get to it at the end. Again, number one is, do you need to do an Erev Tavshilin if you don't plan to cook at all, but you do plan to light the candles? Everyone lights candles from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And secondly, if you didn't light or didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, can you go ahead and light the Neros anyways, even without an Erev Tavshilin b'dieved? So let's understand in general which types of malachos does Erev Tavshilin cover, and then we'll come back to answer these two questions. So the parak begins telling us exactly what an Erev is. There is a fascinating sugya. It's a little bit involved, so I wanted to skip the nature of Erev Tavshilin. It requires doing sugyas of Ho'il, which is a sugya in Psachim. Those who want to do some extra reading, the Mishnah Yavetz of Zhulti in the bottom of that brownish gold set of Svarim, he has a beautiful piece on Erev Tavshilin, the nature of it. So take a look there if you want to have understanding of the lumdus. But I want to get right to the halacha of which malachos does Erev Tavshilin cover. So there are three basic shitas that are found in the Rishon in the Poskim, which malachos. So the first one is the shita of the Ran. The Ran says very clearly, this is the end of, in the end of Masech, and Daf Tesam and Aleph, B'daperif, the Ran writes that Delo Sharu Elo Erev Tavshilin Davar Shu Domila Tikun Suda Kigonafia Ubishal. Erev Tavshilin only covers that which is related to food. Now, what does he say about things that are not food related? What would you think about the Ran? Erev Tavshilin wouldn't work. So let me ask you a question. Are you allowed to, let's say it's Yom Tov, and you finish davening, it's Friday Yom Tov, you finish davening, are you allowed to fold up your talus for the use tomorrow on Shabbos? Let's say in a regular Shabbos. I finish davening Shacharis, I finish davening Musaf, I have my talus there. Am I allowed to fold my talus up and put it away? So there are heterim of the Aruch HaShulchan. Let's assume you're not allowed to fold your talus up, because in doing so, I'm preparing for next Shabbos. That's Hachana from Shabbos to Shabbos. Right, there's a big Indian to fold your talus dafka after Shabbos is over. You leave it out, and then when Shabbos is over, you take it and fold it. There's such an Indian. In fact, it's brought down, I think, in one of the Minhag Svarim. It says that it's a big segula to fold your talus right after Shabbos. That's what's brought down in the Minhag. Right after Shabbos, immediately after, it's a school of Shalom Bias. So if Shechter explained, why is it Shalom Bias? He says, because if you don't fold it right away, it's going to get bad. And then you're going to, I think that actually the Sefer explains this. Because it's going to get bad, it's going to turn yellow, it's going to lose its crease marks, and then you're going to buy a new talus. And your wife is going to wonder, why are you buying a new talus? What was wrong with the first talus that she bought you when you got married? So that's why it's a segula to fold your talus right away after Shabbos is over. Okay, fine. But the Mikra Din, you're not supposed to fold your talus on Shabbos because it's preparing for the next Shabbos.
Preparing for Sunday, is that a problem too?
It's a problem. Anytime you're preparing for after Shabbos, it's a problem of Achana. So now it's Yom Tov. Yom Tov Friday leading into Shabbos. Can I fold my talus on Friday Yom Tov to prepare it for the next day on Shabbos? So according to the Ran, of course you can't. The Erev Tavshilin only works for things that are related to Suda. He clearly says, it's Davar Shudomila Tikun Suda Kigona Fia Bishol. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah assumes as well. He quotes Iran that only things related to food are allowed to prepare. But folding a talis, nothing to do with food. So according to the Iran and the Mishnah Berurah, it would not work. You cannot prepare non-food items even with an Eruv. There are other poskim, and that seems to be the implication of Rabbi Kiva Eger, that he says no. He says it's not related dafka to Eruv, to food items. The reason why the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Eruv Tavshilin only works for food items for Tzarchei Suda is because the Ramah paskins that you're not able to do Eruv Tavshilin, doesn't work for Eruv Tchumim, it doesn't work for Eruv Chatzeros. Why? Because Eruv Tchumim and Eruv Chatzeros has nothing to do with food. Eruv Chatzeros is about me walking with an Eruv carrying. Eruv Tchumim is about the distance of me walking. And since that's not related to food, an Eruv Tavshilin doesn't work on those items. But Rabbi Kiva Eger says nothing to do with food. Rabbi Kiva Eger says the reason why you don't make an Erev Tchumim and Erev Chatzeros, why does Erev Tavshilin not work for those? It's because they have no benefit on Yontif itself. The only time Erev Tavshilin works is if it's an item that you can benefit from Yontif, in theory, so then you could do it on Yontif to prepare for Shabbos afterwards. But Erev Tchumim has no benefit for me on Yontif now. Erev Chatzeros has no benefit for me right now. And therefore, Erev Tavshilin doesn't work on those items. But had not been for that, Erev Tavshilin would work, which means that Erev Tavshilin does work on non-food needs. And therefore, as we'll see momentarily, it's very possible that you can fold your talis on Yontif leading into Shabbos if you left an Erev Tavshilin. So it's actually a very clear Mishnah Berurah. This was not in the Mar Mekomos, but in Siman Shin Beis. This is where the discussion of folding a talis in general is. The Mishnah Berurah talks about a case folding a talis from Yontif to Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch writes himself, this is Shin Beis in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Beis, Siv Gimel. A person's able to be mekaplin kalim b'Shabbos, he could fold his clothing on Shabbos, on the creases, l'tzarech Shabbos, l'lov shem bo b'yom. So let's say Friday night, you wear the same suit as you do Shabbos day. So you go to sleep, you fold your suit very nicely and neatly, so this way you can wear it the next day. That's allowed. It's Shabbos to the same Shabbos. That's all fine. That's not Hachana. But, he says, he has some tanaim about new clothing, might be different. So on that discussion, the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's a situation, b'yomtif shechal b'erev Shabbos, it's yomtif on Friday, that leads into a Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah, mutter lekapel taliso, you can fold your talis on Friday, Yontif. Kisha posha, when you remove it. Imaya chadash levana. Af she'ein daita lelav shabo bayom, even though you don't plan to wear it on Yontif itself again. V'hainu kisha osa erev tafshilin. If you made an erev tafshilin, says the Mishnah Berurah, it works even on non-food-related items, such as folding a talis. That's what he writes. Now he does mention, I need to be fair, there are a lot of steers here lining up all the shitas, so don't try to get in that business right now. Mishnah Berurah sosa himself, Rabbi Kiva Eger sosa himself, so they try to answer this, but try not to pay attention to those right now, just too confusing. But at the end, he adds a Rabbi Kiva Eger, who says, even without leaving an air of Tavshilin, you could fold your talis. So what comes out is, let me explain the three shitas in air of Tavshilin. It's either air of Tavshilin only works on food, Tzarchei Suda. Anything that's not Tzarchei Suda, it's usher to prepare. Then you have Erev Tavshilin covers all items. You could prepare anything you want, whether it's food or not food, Erev Tavshilin could help with that. But without Erev Tavshilin, you can't do anything. And then Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no. Erev Tavshilin is only needed, listen to this point, this is very, very key. Erev Tavshilin only works for Tzarchei Suda, and it's only needed for Tzarchei Suda. But anything that's not Tzarchei Suda, you don't even need an Erev Tavshilin. You can fold the talis all you want because it was only regarding cooking. If you look in the Gemara says, why is Erev Tavshilin instituted in the first place? So you should prepare nice food. Kidei sheyomu ein ofen b'yomtiv l'shabbos. Kavachomer yomtiv l'chol. The whole premise of Erev Tavshilin was to avoid having to cook and bake from Shabbos to Chol. So therefore he said, if Shabbos to Yomtiv you can, so certainly Shabbos to Chol you can't cook. But things that are not related to food, according to some opinions, you don't even need an Erev Tavshilin. You can do whatever you want from Yontif to Shabbos. Everyone have those three shittas?
Why is it not a chana?
So it is a chana, but the understanding would be that a chana is only a violation from a Shabbos to a chol or a yantif to a chol. But a yantif to a Shabbos, a chana would be permitted. The only aser to cooking from yantif to Shabbos without an erev, but a chana would be permitted from yantif to Shabbos. That would be the understanding. So those are three shittas, yeah.
Is that implied in when Hachana de Rava in last parak, he says that it's a gezerah of Yom Tov to Chol, and that's why Shabbos that comes after Yom Tov, the Beit HaShenola, is Asur?
It's very much related to that. If you look at those sugyas, Hachana de Rava is all predicated on the food should be prepared. That's the iser, but if you have an Erev Tavshilin, so then you're allowed to even prepare from a yantif to Shabbos. But if you look at the sugi, the very simple understanding is it's only related to food preparations, but non-food preparations wouldn't be a violation of hachana, at least from yantif to Shabbos. So now let's go through a number of different examples. What would you say about washing kalim, washing dishes? So washing dishes.
Forbidden to wash dishes.
So Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes that you're allowed to wash dishes from Yontif to Shabbos with an Erev Tavshilin. Now, why does that work? So there are two explanations. Either you could say that Erev Tavshilin covers even non-food items, right? It covers even folding a talis. Or you could say, the other explanation, it's Tzarech Nesuda, right? Who says Tzarech Nesuda has to mean actual cooking, actual baking? Anything that's perhaps needed for the Suda perhaps is under the rubric of Tzarech Yisuda.
Or even if it's not Tzarech Yisuda, you don't need Erev Tavshilin for...
And if you assume... Right, exactly. Right. And you may not even need it, exactly. If you assume... Right.
Did we say why the Ron allows you to light candles?
We did not. We'll get there in a second. We'll get that. Now, another example they discuss, Rabbi Akiva Eiger as well, he spent a lot of time apparently on the sugya, is very relevant. Let's say it's always like this. Yantav Shabbos is always the Sifrei Torah. The Kriyas HaTorah is always different. So now you only have, let's say, one or two Sifrei Torah, a couple of minyanim. Now we know rolling the Sifrei Torah during the Tzibur while they're waiting is Tzirch HaTzibur. So now are you allowed to roll the Sifrei Torah from Yantav to the next day Shabbos? That's a discussion under the poskim. So Rabbi Kiveger says you would be allowed to because he assumes, now it's, again, there's a steer in Rabbi Kiveger. Either he assumes you don't even need Erev Tavshilin for non-food items, or he assumes that if you made an Erev, Erev covers even items that are not necessarily part of Tzarech Yisuda. But according to the Ran and the Mishnah Berurah that it only works for Erev Tavshilin, then he would assume that you cannot roll the Sefer Torah from Shabbos, from Yantif to Shabbos. Now, Halacha Maisa, we try to be machmir in all cases, never to rely on Erev Tavshilin unless it's Tzarech Yisuda. We don't allow any other type of hachana outside of this. But if there's a need, so there's what to rely on the other shittas. But that's halacha ma'is. We always assume only for Tzarech Yisuda purposes. Now, it's important to note another, we'll get to other examples in a second, yeah.
How do they get around to Rabbi Akiva Eiger at the Pasuk Isa Sher Tofu Akuva Sher Vashil? It's pretty like limited in terms of literally baking and cooking.
Yeah, they would just say those are the most primary, those are primary examples. But it's lav dafka. Those are, you know, most people do Erev Tavshilin to cook and to bake, but under that would include other items as well, even if it's not related to food. That's, they would say, just simply lav dafka, I believe.
And to decide whether or not it counts for non-food items or not, this was all derived from what we were learning, where you group all Eruv, three things together, and you try and...
Exactly, right.
That's where it's coming from?
Yeah. Now, it's important to say, you know, the Lashon of the Ran doesn't tell us where. Ran just says it only works for Tzarech Yisuda. So we don't know where in the Gemara tells us this. It could be where Yaakov's telling us, because the Gemara only says that line, that it's a Sher Tofu, which is the Pasuk, that only that which is cooked, only that which is baked, is really subject to the Heter of Erev Tavshilin. That's a simple understanding how the Ran knows it only works in Tzarech Yisuda. But they would just simply say, as I said to Yaakov, that it's a Lav Dafka. It would apply to other types of items as well. Yeah. We'll get to Levush in just a second. We'll get there in just a second to the Halakas Neiros. Now, another question that comes up, and it's important to know this heter, is, I actually mentioned this on the shir the other day. A guy pointed out to me, I made a mistake on the shir. I was talking about Hachana. Someone asked me a question about putting together photo albums on Shabbos. So one of the questions of whether or not you have your wedding album, you know, your wedding pictures, you want to put them in the album, you have some extra time, it's a long Shabbos, you know, you just got married, it's just a husband and wife home, it's a long Friday night or a long Shabbos day, what better thing to do than to put the pictures in the photo album? Fine. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So one of the considerations are, there are many considerations. There's issues of muksa, the pictures might be muksa if it's very fancy. It could be a tofer gluing them in because it's sticky material sometimes. One of the issues is sorting. And the fourth issue is hachana, preparing. So if I'm making the wedding album on Shabbos to prepare to use afterwards, is that going to be a problem of hachana? So one of the understandings of hachana, so I gave an example of if you're using the item on Shabbos itself, you're getting hana on Shabbos itself, that's at hachana. Right? If I'm going to cook something on Yontif to eat on Yontif, that's not called hachana to Shabbos. Now, there might be leftover. I could use it also on Shabbos afterwards. But there's some hana on Shabbos, it's on Yantav itself, that's permitted. So I gave an example of, let's say it's Yantav, Matzah Shabbos. So now can I bring my sitter? Well, this is not really a tavshilim, but this is in terms of hachana purposes. If I it's actually a great question, a great ma'isa. Rav Soloveitchik, when he came to America, one of the first times he davened in a shul, so it was a Shabbos followed by a Yantav. So Erev Shabbos, the rabbi made an announcement, please everyone remember to make an Erev tavshilim. So Rav Soloveitchik comes up to the rabbi afterwards. He says, you only make an Erev Tavshilim when it comes Yantif into Shabbos, not a Shabbos into Yantif. He's like, yeah, there's one sheet in the Mishonim that says to do Shabbos into Yantif. Now he made that up. He was wrong. He didn't know what else to say to Rav Soloveitchik. But he was trying to say you could always rely on some Rishon somewhere has something to say, right? But even though no Rishon ever said to make an Erev Tavshilim from Shabbos to Yantif. So now what happens? It's a Shabbos to Yantif. And you want to bring your Machzit, Rosh Hashanah. So I gave the example that Shabbos leads into Rosh Hashanah. So the guy pointed out to me that it can never happen. Rosh Hashanah never falls out on Sunday. Okay, bad example. So let's say it's Sukkot or Pesach. I don't know if that happens either. Mustama Sukkot can't happen either if Rosh Hashanah can't. So let's say Pesach. So Shabbos leads into Pesach. Pesach is Sunday. Matzah Shabbos Sunday. That can happen. So can you bring the machzer to shul on Shabbos so you can have it ready to use Matzah Shabbos on Pesach? And the answer is that's hachana. But let's say you bring the machzer to shul on Shabbos so that you could use it on Shabbos itself, that would be allowed. Or let's say, I don't know if this happens, I think Purim can fall out of Matzah Shabbos. So let's say you want to bring your Megillah to Shul. You certainly can't bring a Megillah's Esther.
Mincha Er Pesach is in the Machzer.
Yeah, or you want to, there are Mishnayos Pesachim there. Mishnayos Pesachim, you want to learn something, you learn. There's Mishnayos Pesachim inside the Machzer, you want to learn Mishnayos. Something to learn from it. So Haggadah, right? You can learn Haggadah. The Ramos is learning Haggadah, the Shabbos before him. So there's something you could learn from that machzer, use the machzer. So let's say it's a Purim. A Purim is Matzah Shabbos. I think that could happen also. So can you bring your Megillah on Shabbos to use Matzah Shabbos? Well, certainly the cloth Megillah you can. That's Muksa. That you're not allowed to. But let's say you have a Megillah Esther, like a Sefer. You want to use that on Shabbos. Could you bring that on Shabbos to use for Yontif? And the answer is if you're going to use it on Shabbos itself to learn from it, which is very possible, it's Talmud Torah. So then you could bring it to Shul Shabbos, learn from it, and then leave it over to be used Matzah Shabbos for Purim itself.
You just can't say it. You just can't tell people.
Exactly. Right. You can't say, I'm bringing it for the purpose of using it also Matzah Shabbos. But you cannot say it exactly.
You have it with shoes for Tisha B'Av.
Same thing. Tisha B'Av, that you cannot bring either. That would be considered Hachana. So now all these cases, if there's ever a Hana, so now back to Yontif to Shabbos case. If you can create a situation where you're going to benefit from the item on Yontif itself, then that would not be considered hachana. You won't even need an Erev Tavshilin. So let's say a person forgot an Erev Tavshilin. So then if they're cooking on Yontif to use on Yontif, so then you're allowed to have it the leftover to be used on Shabbos itself. So these are the basic understandings of how Yontif to Shabbos works.
What was the takeaway of the photo album?
It's a different sheet. I don't want to go through right now.
So let's
talk about halakas neiros for a second now. So halakas neiros are allowed to light from Yontif to Shabbos. So everyone agrees if there's an Erev Tavshilin, you're certainly allowed to. That's pasha. Now, if Erev Tavshilin only works for Tzar Chisuda, what's the explanation? So if Erev Tavshilin works for all types of malachas, even non-Tzar Chisuda, like Rabbi Kvi Eger said, that's pashut. You're allowed to light neiros. But if halakas neiros is not considered, right, if erev tavshilin only works on tzarchei suda, so what's the explanation? How are you allowed to light halakas neiros if erev tavshilin only works for tzarchei suda? And the Levush answers, what's the Levush's answer? Halakas neiros is itself tzarchei suda. It's similar to the washing of dishes. Even though it itself is not cooking or baking, if it's something that enhances the tzarchei suda, that would fall under the rubric of that which is mutter through an erev tavshilin. So, it wants to...
Because if you can't see your food, you can't enjoy it as much.
Pretty much, right.
What about that Aramaic pasuk that you say after the erev includes halakas neiros also?
So that's based on the Gemara. That's based on the Gemara. We could discuss it right now. Before we get there, we'll get that in a second. Whether or not it's in parentheses in some machzor, whether to say it, that's based on a sugar we're about to see. But in terms of the question of erev tavshilin working on tzarchei suda only, so the Levush explains that halakas neiros is tzarchei suda. And that's really supported by a number of the Rishonim. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Heyman Beis, tells us that halakas neiros b'Shabbos is a chov, it's a requirement. Why is it a requirement? So the Rashi there explains in Shabbos there, it's Kavod Shabbos. Now, I don't want to go through the sugi of Kavod and Onik Shabbos, but this big machlok is whether Halakas Neiros is a Kavod Shabbos, which means it's before Shabbos, it's in order to show honor, or it's Onik Shabbos, which is more things that take place on Shabbos itself. Now, obviously, you can only light the candles on Erev Shabbos for technical reasons, but is the key mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos as you usher in Shabbos, or is it about enjoying Shabbos itself, the Onik, during the meal? So that itself, I want to ignore Kavod and Onag, even though the Rishonim talk about it. My focus, however, is that Kavod Shabbos, She'ein Suda Chashuva. Now, a little bit different than what Binyamin was saying. Not because you can't see the food without it, but Ein Suda Chashuva. It's not a Chashuva meal unless you have candles. You have, you go to a wedding, oftentimes there are candles on the table. This makes it a little more Chashuva, a little bit more, romantic and special when there is a candle. That's the understanding of Rashi. And he says it's only chashuv b'makom, or when there's light, kein yamama, when it's daytime, it's a little bit brighter just because it's more chashuv, not because you can't see it. Tosos says the same thing. He says that you have to have it, the sheyisar b'makom aner, mishim oneg, he uses oneg, but he still says that the ner must be present where the sud is. So you see that Levush does have some roots in the Rishonim that you have to have halakas neiros for the sud. But not everybody agrees that this is the function of Neiros Shabbos. Yes, Eitan.
Whether it's Kavod or Oneg, you still get a na from the candles, right? So you're getting a na before Yom Tov as well?
So you could suggest that when you light the candles, that might be part of the explanation of why you're allowed to light it, because even on Yom Tov itself, you're getting some hana. So you could see now it's getting dark, it's coming, the sun's beginning to set. The sun's on the other side of the trees, so by me lighting candles close to Shabbos, it's not for Shabbos, it's for Yom Tov itself. So that would be permitted perhaps even without an Erev, as we'll see in just a moment. But in terms of the general nature of Halakas Neiros Shabbos, the Rambam writes in Perkei, first halacha, Halakas Neir b'Shabbos eino reshus imrotz malik imrotz eino malik. It's not an option, it's not a reshus, and it's low mitzvah either. It's not a mitzvah that you don't have to run after. She'einu chayv lirdof achara. Ella, it's a chova. There's a chiv to light halakas neir Shabbos, echad anoshim, whether it's men, ve'echad anoshim, either even women. Chayavim lihios bibateyan neir dalak b'Shabbos. Okay. So he lays out the mitzvah there. He doesn't mention that you have to have it in the suda. He just says that there should be a neir dalak b'Shabbos. Right, the Gemara itself said there should be shalom bayis so people don't bump into each other. Nothing to do with the eating the meal. So the simple understanding of the Rambam is that halakas neiros has nothing to do with tzarchei suda. In which case you have to ask the question for the Rambam, why then are you allowed to light neiros from Yom Tov to Shabbos?
Didn't the Kibbeger say that you don't need an eruv for other non-cooking purposes, right?
So you can say the Rambam could very likely say that you don't need it. You don't need eruv tavshilin for non-food related. That's one explanation. Or maybe you do need it, eruv tavshilin, but eruv tavshilin covers even non-food items as well. So that would be the explanation. Even though the Rambam holds that halakas neiros is not tzarich es Shabbos, you could still have Erev Tavshilin covered, or you don't even need Erev Tavshilin. Everyone with me? Fine. We're not sure exactly. We don't know how the Rambam paskins. Now it seems, I believe, that the Rambam holds, and we'll see, I think, l'shitaso, if you look at the Rambam's definition of Erev Tavshilin, he only mentions food and cooking. And it sounds like non-food items do not require Erev Tavshilin. And we'll see that, I think, from this next sugya that Yirmi quoted, about whether or not you have to have the nusach of l'halik ner Shabbos, l'halik neros, in the nusach of Erev Tavshilin. So let's get to the case now, where we started with, let's say a person didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Yeah?
You run into a situation, the Gemara has times where if all of Klal Yisrael is not going to become a mitzvah, so there's special considerations to allow it. Wouldn't that be an issue? I'm saying that Shabbos, no one's going to like Shabbos.
Right.
And Rambam said it's a chozah.
Right. You have to light candles. The question is, what's the explanation? Is it because you made the Erev Tavshilin, that's why it allows you, or you don't even need the Erev Tavshilin?
I'm saying, according to the Shittos, that's a Erev Tavshilin, like the Ran. Right? It's not,
right.
Doesn't cover candles, and you need
For the Ran, the simplest understanding is that the Halakas Neiros is considered Tzarech Yisuda. So that's why the Rambam would allow it. If you have a position who holds the only Tzarech Yisuda, it works, and Halakas Neiros isn't Tzarech Yisuda, then you have to come on to your answers that, well, we can't just be oker this chiv. That would be the explanation. But the simplest understanding would be, if you assume it only works for Tzarech Yisuda, Neiros Shabbos is Tzarech Yisuda. And if you assume that it works on any items, then you don't have to assume that Neiros Shabbos is necessarily Tzarech Yisuda.
Is Neiros Shabbos Deraisa?
Say it again?
Is Neiros Shabbos
Deraisa? No, it's Derabanan. But yeah. Okay, so now let's get to the question of, a person didn't leave an Erev Tavshilin, what should he do? Is he allowed to light the Neres Shabbos? So that was a clear Gemara in Be'ah, that Chaf Aleph and Be'ah is going on to Chaf Be'ah and Aleph, where a person is allowed to be Malik in a Sener. If he didn't leave Erev Tavshilin, Mi Shelo Heniach Erev Tavshilin, Ofen Lo Pas Achas, he could bake one piece of bread because he's stuck. We can't let him starve. And even become a vashon lo kader achas and just cook one item of food, and malik in esaner, and he could also light the candles. And there, the Tosas writes mikan mashma. There in Chabez, it's implied from here that tzarich lahaskir bebirchas eruv v'chetavshilin. You have to say the following nusach. When you say Erev Tavshilin, you have the bread, the matzah, and the egg, whatever you use. We'll get to those discussions as well. You have the matzah and egg in hand. You should say Yehei Shari Lev Shulei. I could permit to cook, lafuy to bake, ula luke, and also to light. Because he says the Gemara implies that if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, it's usur to light candles, other than just one candle if you're stuck. If there's no Erev, you could do just one candle because otherwise you're stuck. But aside from that, you really do need an Erev Tavshilin for Halakas Neiros as well. That's the understanding of the Gemara. But the Beis Yosef points out from the Rambam that no, the Rambam doesn't make any mention of Halakas Neiros. Rambam just says you have to do Erev for baking and for cooking. Nothing to do with Halakas Neiros. So the Beis Yosef understands for the Shita of the Rambam that you don't have to mention Halakas Neiros. And even if you didn't leave an Erev Tavshilin, you're allowed to light candles. When the Gemara says Malikin Saner, it doesn't say the Heter to light the Ner. It means, of course, you light the Ner. There's nothing to do with the Erev Tavshilin. In terms of baking or cooking, you're stuck. If you didn't make an Erev, you bake one one pas, and you cook one kedera. But Lagabe Malik is an Erev, light as many as you want, because you don't need Erev Tavshilin to light candles. That's how the Rambam understands this Gemara. So this is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch about what does one do, a Mishelo Hiniach Erev. So the Mechaber has 2 days. One day is Mutter Lahalik Ner Shel Shabbos. V'yesh osin, they're those who prohibit from lighting Neir Shabbos. So I started off with, this is the most common question on a Yom Tov that has Erev Tavshilin. Shabbos morning, I always happen, I down Hashkama, I'm in the hallway, and someone says to me, like 5 people come over to me, we forgot Erev Tavshilin. As the ladies come to shul later, 5 more ladies come to me, what do I didn't make an Erev Tavshilin? So what are you supposed to do? I said, last time, did you make an Erev Tavshilin? If the answer is yes, so then this time I said, you're fine, rely on the rabbis, Erev Tavshilin, do what you need to do. If last time you forgot also, I say you're stuck, but you could still light candles. Why? Because we always assume when it comes to 2 days of the Shulchan Aruch, if there's a Stam and then the Yesh Omrim, we assume like the Stam. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Stam, Mishlo Erev, Mutter Lahalik Ner Shal Shabbos, you're allowed to. And there's Yesh Omrim, there are those who prohibit it, but we always assume like the Stam Shita of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah to explain all this, the Mishnah Berurah says that Harbe Achronim, even though we assume like the Stam Shita of the Shulchan Aruch, Harbe Achronim Hiskimu De Iker Kadezu. Most assume like the Yesh Osum, that's Asa to light, without a Erev Tavshilin. And that's why we have in the Nusach of Erev Tavshilin, Behadein Eruva, we also include La Luke Shraga, that lighting a candle is included in this. Because really, Erev Tavshilin does matir lighting candles as well. And then he concludes, Uveyesh makilin kedei rishona. There are those who are leaning like the first day of the Shulchan Aruch, that you can light candles, lehalikol mashirot, or whatever you want, ulechatchila nachon sheyakne lacherim v'heim yalikolo, or yistapik b'ner echad. So what's the best approach? The best approach, says the Mishnah Berurah, is to do as follows. Either you should makne over to your neighbor, have your neighbor light for you, meaning you don't have to do the ma'aser laka. You have to have it daluk, lit. So if you have a neighbor who had an Erev Tavshil and said, I'm makna over all my candles, all my oil to you, have them come to your house and light on your behalf. That's one Eitzah. Or you light just one candle. And that's because the understanding of the Gemara is we could be Ofen Pasachas, Tavshil Kder Achas, and Malikin Lo, the understanding is Ner Echad, those are special Haterim if you didn't light an Erev. So it comes out from all this, there are two different dayas about what to do when a person didn't leave an Erev, what to do about Halakas Neros. And it all depends on the discussion we've been having about whether an Erev Tavshilin covers it, Halakas Neros, whether you even need it to cover Halakas Neros. That's what comes out of Halakha L'maisa. So now, the next question that I was always asked is, I'm not. Yes?
Wait, what was the answer to his question about couldn't you just light the candles earlier on Yom Tov so that you're getting some benefit from it?
So that is a discussion. Some actually say that one should do. It's brought down of a Sefer called Sefer Ochel Nefesh. The Sefer Ochel Nefesh, it's a chiddush. It's not brought down in the postman. I didn't see this anywhere. But he writes, it's a very nice Sefer. It's a nice leaket of just the various halachas. So he, this individual writes, Rabbi Yaffe. I don't know who Rabbi Yaffe is. But he writes as follows. That even if a person made an Erev Tavshilin, and we know Erev Tavshilin certainly covers, it allows a person to light an Erev Shabbos, he says, Tzarech lahalik es haneres l'shabbos bizman she'efshir lahanos mehem b'yom tov mibod yom. So he makes that. So this, even with an Erev Tavshilin, I think there's a big chumrah. I don't think other posts can assume this way. You know, in theory you could light it a few seconds before Shabbos, but an Eitzah would be, another Eitzah might be is, let's say you didn't leave an Erev Tavshilin. So if I get Hana on it right now, I could light candles on Yom Tov. I can't light, everyone knows you can't make a match. We can't light a match on Yom Tov. But I could take from an existing fire and light the other fires that I need. So if it's really true that a person does need candles on Yom Tov, so you can light them on Yom Tov to get Hana, and then have them carry over onto Shabbos. Now it becomes very tricky because we don't live, you know, in Radin. We have electricity. So how beneficial are the candles really? Can you really claim that you could light candles? So there are some poskim who actually say that you shouldn't light candles from Yantif to Yantif or Yantif to Shabbos because it's unnecessary. Lighting candles on Erev Yantif, Erev Shabbos on a regular weekday, you could light candles, it's a weekday. But if it's Yantif, now Yantif Sheni or Yantif Shabbos, I don't need the candles, I have electricity. So there's some who hold that actually you shouldn't light candles in general. Now, most don't assume this way. But Moshe talks about such a situation. It's hard to, even though in theory, if you light the candles on Yantif, that you're getting Hana on it on Yantif itself, and that would be a heter, but it's hard to really explain that, because since we have electricity, I don't think you could rely on that heter.
Maybe you could bring a raya from Nair's Hanukkah, that just looking at the Nair's itself brings a sort of Hana, even though
Right, so but Neir Chanukah is fundamentally different than Shabbos, that you're not supposed to get Hana from Halakas Neir Chanukah, but Shabbos you are supposed to. So if you're getting Hana from the electricity, what good is the Neir Shabbos trying to accomplish? So they're very, very different, the Dinim of Chanukah and Shabbos. And finally, yes?
The Shita that you can only have one Faz and one candle, what's that based on? It's like a Knas.
I don't think it's a knas. I think it's a situation more like, in the end of the day, the guy needs something for Shabbos. You can't...
If it's us, sir.
No, because the chacham, the ones who required Erev Tavshilin in the first place. So really, deraisa, you don't need an Erev Tavshilin. You really can cook from Yantif to Shabbos, and those are based on the sugyas about Hoyel, how that works. But the Heimamru, they said you need an Erev Tavshilin, and if you didn't have an Erev Tavshilin, they gave you a special heter of a one-time, one bread, one chulin pot, and one candle. That's, I believe, the understanding of it. And the last point we'll finish off with is... what?
No,
Lecha Mishnah. That's a good question. I'm not sure in that case, do you have to borrow another piece of bread from someone else? It's a good question. I'm not sure. Maybe when we get to the sugya in Chav Aleph, maybe we'll be eyeing into that a little bit. It's a good question.
That idea of one is only if you forgot both, like, two times in a row.
I think, a situation where you you forgot twice in a row, because if you forgot only once, then you could rely on the rabbi, right? But I think it's a good question in terms of Lecha Mishnah. Let's hold off on that point. Maybe when you come back to Chav Aleph on Beis, maybe we'll be eyeing into that sugya. I'll try to remember to do that. That we'll get to that as well. So then, finally, the last sugya, the last piece we'll discuss is, which again is the most common question, whether it's a yontif with an Erev Tavshilin, is I'm not cooking, I've been invited out for all my meals, I'm very popular, everyone likes me, and I don't have to cook or prepare anything. Do I then have to make an Erev Tavshilin or not? And the answer the poskim say is that one must make an Erev Tavshilin because everyone's at least lighting candles. At least lighting the candles, and that, according to some, requires Erev Tavshilin. That was part of the machlokas we discussed. Do halakas neiros require Erev Tavshilin, or do they not require Erev Tavshilin? So therefore we say, you should definitely make an Erev Tavshilin, but you should not say a bracha. Because since it's a suffix, whether or not halakas neiros requires Erev Tavshilin or not, so we say suffix Erev Tavshilin l'chumra, not suffix deraisa, it's a suffix derabanan, but suffix Erev Tavshilin, we say you should do it. You don't lose anything by making Erev Tavshilin, but you shouldn't say a bracha because suffix brachos lahakel. Now, we can't say that.
Why don't we?
Because Erev Tavshilin is something that it's because you might need it, because to accomplish halakas neiros, you might require it. And without Erev Tavshilin, then you'd be violating perhaps a deraisa of lighting candles on Yantif when you're not allowed to light candles on Yantif. So,
deraisa is allowed. Sometimes it's derabanan that you'd be required.
Yeah, no, but it's not suffix of whether or not you have to do this or not. It's a suffix of how we paskin. So according to those who paskin that you must do it, so then you certainly have to make Erev Tavshilin. According to those who say you don't need it, so then you don't have to make one. But it's not really a case of a suffix. It's really just 2 days. We're trying to be machmir for both opinions. And therefore we say, again, there's nothing lost by making Erev Tavshilin. So to cover all the shitas, no, you're not saying the bracha. I'm saying no there without the bracha. There's no risk involved in doing so. So therefore, in order to cover your bases, it's really protecting you.
But couldn't you always say that in a case of something derabanan l'kula? Well, you don't lose out by being machmir. Does that uproot the whole opinion of something derabanan l'kula?
I guess each case has to be out of...
Because you can always say that.
It depends on the case.
Well, you lose out,
it depends on the case. It depends what the situation is. But again, we're dealing with the... That's the risk involved, the bracha l'tala.
Something derabanan l'kula I'm talking about...
But
you say, well, why not? Like, you don't lose out by making it, but then you can always say that by suffix.
No, but it's a different type of suffix, though. It's not a suffix where you weren't sure if you did something or didn't do it. It's really, there are 2 days here, and it's a question really how to paskin, not a suffix of whether you did something or you didn't do something. So if it's a situation where a guy wasn't sure if he made Erev Tavshilin, so then I think I did it, but I think someone took my matzah neck. I don't know where it is, but I'm pretty sure maybe I did it, maybe I didn't do it. Sometimes it does apply to Sveikos and Psak, but it really depends. Each situation is different. It's a good question. I have to think about it a little bit more. It's a good question. In the end of the day, we paskin, when it comes to a a person who, again, doesn't need to cook or bake, one should do Erev Tavshilin anyways without a bracha in order to allow him or her to light Neiros.
And what is this whole thing reminding us of? That you got to make a heker because otherwise you might have done what? What was the original